Formosa is a small island, yet blessed with an array of natural wonder and splendor. From the north, ancient towns and aboriginal villages lie alongside towering mountains, beautiful waterfalls, and elaborate temples. The central region displays the full range of Formosa's spectacular beauty, the shining sea, roaring rivers, and emerald forests. Known as the island's cultural center, southern Formosa still retains many of the traditions of the mainland immigrants when they first settled in this area. With tens of thousands of people practicing the Kuan Yin method, Formosa has gained international attention and respect for its economic independence and power. Diligent spiritual practice has brought their land abundant prosperity and development. Through the sincerity of the practitioners, Formosa enjoys the blessings and merits of a peaceful nation. In early 2007, Supreme Master Ching Hai answered the sincere longing of her association members when she joined the festivities with honored guests and around 10,000 of our association members from around the world to celebrate the Lunar New Year of the Pig on February 18, 2007 in Formosa. On the same auspicious day, the Shining World Leadership Award Ceremony was held, and Supreme Master Ching Hai awarded the former President of the Philippines, Fidel Ramos, President of the Gusii Peace Prize Foundation, Manuel L. Morato, and Senator Harrison Alvarez for their compassionate work with the Aulac Seas refugees in the Philippines. Following these celebrations, an international retreat took place where Supreme Master Ching Hai and our association members meditated and prayed for peace throughout the world. On February 22, 2007, the Supreme Master Ching Hai Day was celebrated with great fanfare and beautiful performances.
We now invite you to listen to a discussion between Supreme Master Ching Hai and our association members entitled The Unsurpassed Benefit of Taking Refuge in the Buddha in February 1996 in Xihu, Formosa.
That is why to give in charity is not as good as to give the true teaching to the people, to spread the teaching to the people. That's why since ancient time, people keep praising monkhood, because if they follow a living Buddha, they can learn very well, and then they continue to go out and spread the teaching and deliver other people. It is much better than they give any golden coins in a mountain of number to the people, because that will only satisfy their material craving for a very short period of time, but cannot deliver them forever to the Buddha's land or the kingdom of God. Yeah, so you see, because at that time he only offered two coins without condition. Yeah, without thinking of reward or merit. Thus, his merit has become multifold like that, and he enjoyed wealth forever, for a long, long time. But it would have been better at that time if he himself developed a quest, or a thirst for enlightenment, and follow the Buddha, or become a monk, even better. But he did not. Therefore, I have often told you that charity should be done, you know, in modesty, the way it is. Not that means we are stingy not to give, but means to give but without pomp and show too much. You know what I mean? But sometimes it's inevitable that the press knows, or other people know, and then they bring the press and all that. Okay, whatever comes, we accept, but we don't do it for that purpose. You see what I mean? We don't refuse anything, but we don't do everything for show. You see, some person invited the Buddha and make a very shining example of charity. And then the other person sat next door and looked at it, and he learned from that example. And he gave the 2 coins. It's fine and good. But that's the only thing he learned. You see what I mean? If somebody would have told him a better way, huh? See, you know, you follow the Buddha, huh? You learn the Kuan Yin method. Then you have a better life. Yeah, you get out of the poverty altogether. Even if you have 200,000 coins in your hand for 61 kalpas, it's still a life of suffering, of birth and death, of transmigration, of headache and sorrow and worry, right? We would rather have 61 seconds in heaven than 61 kalpas here with golden coins in our hand. Yeah? So because if 61 seconds in heaven is good enough for you, then you continue to listen to the Dharma, the teaching of the Buddha over there, and then you continue to earn more merit, and then you continue to stay there forever. But if you stay here 61 kalpas without enlightenment, doesn't matter what you have, it's just a life of illusion. Huh? Just like the children when they were young, they play together on the dusty road, and then put clay together, make them become cakes, yeah? And then they take the fallen leaves to become money, and they say they earn a lot of money today. They put a whole full basket of money. This is for the adults we know is only golden leaves. And for the children they know too. They do know, but they don't take this knowledge very deeply. And very seriously, for them it's money. Even though they know it, but for them it's money, and they cling to that. And they would argue back and forth, 5 more leaves for 1 cake, for example, like that. And they feel happy about it. Similarly, for us, the adult, to play in this game of illusion, it's just a matter of degree. Yeah? More illusionary or less illusionary. It's a less or more degree of deceit, that's all. Mm. So you see, that's why charity is good, but not that perfect. Huh? Luckily, he offered this money to the Buddha. So the Buddha and the Sangha, by the marriage of their practice and spiritual hate, has uplifted this man's soul through the 2 coins, has finally let him step into the circle of sainthood. Otherwise, if he just offered the 2 coins like this, he would never gain anything. If he offered it to anyone, he would not gain anything but money, wealth, and fame throughout his existence. Luckily, he offered it to the Buddha. So the Buddha take the 2 coins and give him some merit as well. But even then, just because he himself has not generate the heart for enlightenment, so the merits that the Buddha lent to him take 61 aeons kalpa, or aeons, to bear fruit. You understand? So, whatever it is, must be from ourselves. Huh? We must want enlightenment. We must want to get out of suffering. And that's the best way, the quickest way. And without Kuan Yin method, no guarantee. Absolutely no. If you have come beyond this world and walked through the gate of illusionary existence, then you know very, very well, without Kuan Yin method, without the art of listening to the inner nature, one never get liberation. Never, 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 never. I repeat again, never. That is a problem. That is the thing that people don't know. And that is a very pity. And that is why we must work hard to help them to know this news. But it is not easy. It has never been easy for anyone at all, for the Buddha, for Jesus, for, you know, Mohammed or whomever what has been, for all the master of India, the Sikh master and Hindu master and Krishna and all that, has never been easy. Otherwise, do you think we still sit here? We would have been all gone by the time of Kashyapa Buddha was there. And he doesn't need to take the 2 coins, he takes the man with him. Yes. The 61 aeons that the man enjoy, wealth and property, never can equal to 1 second of the Buddha's land. Once he got there, he's there forever. And then even gold coins, or I'll say ruby coins, diamond coins, does it matter to him anymore? Does he need them? No, no. Because over there, they use diamond and gold to pave the road, like we use it cement and I'll say tiles here to pave our floor. Over there, they don't need diamond. Besides, every one of us know very well, diamonds or rubies or gold, whatever it is, the value they have, it is the value we give to them. It's not the true value. Suppose you are in the desert, you have no water, and your camels run away with food. And then, can you eat the diamond? At that time, diamond has any value to you? No, you die beside the diamonds, and diamond cannot move, cannot do anything absolutely to you. So any value in this world, the material value, only has the importance because we give it to them. Otherwise, there's nothing here that's valuable. Thus, you see, some man loved that woman, loved so much that he would die or he would kill for her. But to other neighbors, she's nothing. Even if she comes to his house, he would kick her out. Yeah. He said, what do you do here? You know, he would not feel her appeal at all. Because she has nothing to do with him. But she has a karma with that person, with the one who would kill for her, that person. So everything is related to each other through the karma or through the value that we attach to the subject or to the person. There's no real value in this world. But since we live here, we accept. Yeah, we accept. But we must know so that we don't feel attachment for these transient things. And really, it's not valuable things. We must understand the root of all the value so that we can use them but not feel attached to them. And that's the reason why we must practice the spiritual wisdom. We must know. So we free ourselves from everything. From material binding, from attachment of passion, from binding of physical love even. So you know the Buddha means the one who is enlightened, eh? In India, Sanskrit means old man. That's all, old man. And now, Sangha means one who follows the Buddha. Huh? The old man. Sangha means the congregation of truth. That's all there is. Huh? All right. Following the truth, the people who follow the truth, follow the teacher of the truth. So the Sangha consisted of the people who renounce their family or friends or possession in order to help the Buddha to travel around and spread the truth teaching. Also included are the lay members who has family and husband and wife, but also continue to spread the teaching in their own way, in their community. Yes. So actually everybody to me is monks. It's just that in the old time it's easier to become monks. Also in India now, still easier to become monk. Even if the master accepts so many monks, he has no worry about anything. They don't need to stay anywhere. They just live on the road or under anywhere or in a park or something. And they go beg for food once a day or twice a day if they need sometimes. That's all. I enjoy the talents that God granted to me for the good cause of mankind. Yeah? So many people come to me because of the clothing I design, because my artistic tendency appeal to their artistic tendency, appeal to their love of beauty. And some people come to me through the music because my music appeal to their inner nature of their own, you know, ability to produce music or to listen to music. And some people love my paintings, so they feel acquainted to me and make affinity with me and became fellow practitioners. Therefore, from so many angles of abilities, God has drawn His children to Himself. through my physical instrument, for example, like that. Therefore, there's nothing that is useless. We must know how to use things, and then they become useful. You see, when I see the people offer things to the Buddha, and when they're reborn again with a piece of silk on their body or with two coins in their hands, I'm afraid. That's why I do not accept your offering. I would rather you offer yourself, and then let me help you take you out of this suffering sea forever. That would be the best thing that you ever offer to any Buddha. But of course, in each kalpa, means in each age, the Buddhas used a different way to teach people. At that time, that man only offered two golden coins. If the Buddha did not accept, he has nothing else to offer. He doesn't know yet. For example, like that. Or the Buddha was in a hurry, and the man only wants to offer two golden coins and want nothing else to do with the Buddha. So what else can he do? And then he slowly will develop the mind for enlightenment that would be best for him. That's why we spend our money on charity, but also on the spiritual charity. And we print a lot of free books and free magazines, things like that, in case people are interested. And that is a gift to mankind that we can give. Better than the charity that we do. But of course, when people are dying from starvation, we can't just say, well, spiritual gift is better, so here is a sample booklet. Thus, we also run around the world sometimes wherever we know about a disaster or whenever we can help, we always help. But I know God will give again. So if necessary, I will give everything. If it's not necessary, we give whatever needed or whatever we have. That's all. All right? So when people are starving, you give him some money, okay? Or bread. Not only a sample booklet of Master speaking in United Nations. Money and bread, okay? After he fills his stomach, maybe he listens to you. Maybe not, but don't expect anything. So now you don't know anything about stream winners, huh? Once returners and never returners. Do you know anything about that? No? Okay. Oh, stream winners. That means he properly practiced convenient method, huh? He has countered the currents of life and death of transmigration. And perhaps during his concentration, while he practiced the convenient method, the Buddha probably would bless him and let him hear the sound currents now and again. So he win the stream, the sound current stream. Yeah? But for that people at that time, most of the master never take people one lifetime. Or not all of them. So many people would have to come back after seven lifetimes. Then they will get liberation. They meet another Buddha and then actually practice the Guanyin method, became his disciples, then he liberated. That is one who's supposed to be stream winners. And some people come back four times with the encounter of the Buddha. Maybe they just listen, they rejoice in their heart, and they prepare to follow, but then they didn't follow. Maybe next year, or maybe next 2 years, or something like that. Always the same. Or maybe my sons are grown up, and then I will follow the Buddha. My sons are not grown up, it's not married yet. When they're married, I must drink wine and eat meat first to rejoice. And then after that, I will follow you. But then after that, another daughter going to get married. And then a daughter born another son, and then so on. He has to take care of the grandchildren, and blah, 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 blah. And so someone who followed the Buddha called once returners. That, of course, you know very well. He returned once more, and then he be liberated. And other never returners, then it's very clear that he's liberated in this lifetime. This is the one that practiced Guan Yin method diligently and want liberation badly. And some became arhats. That is even higher. The arhats can teach people, can impart the blessing to them, etc., etc. Every value depends on how you put on it. So, right. So, you see, After all, comfort really binds us. Everything has its advantage and disadvantages. Like in the old time or in India, people say to me, India is a land of Buddha. How come it's so poor and so dirty and things like that? It's no blessing to follow the Buddha and the teaching doesn't help. I say, well, you don't see it with the material eyes. The blessing comes in different way. Huh? For example, in the old time, the people don't have so much comfort. So look how many people follow the Buddha. And now we have paved road and we have cars and we have air-conditioned house. It's very difficult to come here and live in the freezing cold winter with no heater and, you know, hot summer without aircon. For example, you're not used to it and your body rebel, yeah, and your mind make trouble. Therefore, it is very difficult. And today, the women are more beautiful than the old time. They can go to beautician, and they buy a lot of makeup, and they go to Master Ching Hai to learn how to makeup as well. And they buy celestial clothes, yeah, and they put on beautiful jewelry. Even the fake jewelry nowadays are more beautiful than the real jewelry in the old time. So how difficult it is to leave such a piece of jewelry at home and come here and follow Master Ching Hai and live a simple life. It's funny. If it's not a true teaching, everybody follow. If it's true teaching, difficult. If you become a monk without a master, many people. But if you become a monk under a real master, very less. But this is also good. That means the teaching is true. And you see in the class, how many distinguished students? 3, 4, 5, no? Especially nowadays. It's funny, in the old time, people follow the master more. Like Krishna, he has about 70,000 wives. No. They're supposed to be the milkmaids, that follow him when he was a shepherd boy. Then they follow him until he became enlightened. Of course, they are not his wives, they're just his disciples. But that is only female disciples, the male disciple didn't count yet. Okay? For example, like that. And even at that time, there was no system of transportation. I mean, not so fast like today with airplane, hovercraft, and maybe soon hover car. So sometimes comfort doesn't mean blessing from God. A richness doesn't mean you are a very meritorious person. It depends on what you did in last life. If you help a lot of people, of course good. But you have loving kindness and the fruit will return to you in many folds. You become very rich in this lifetime. Look, the man only give 2 coins, lousy coins. And for 61 aeons, he enjoy enormous wealth and never lack anything. Have all the precious things in his life, except enlightenment. That he get at the end. Only perhaps he got tired. He enjoyed everything that he ever wanted to enjoy. And then he said, so what now? What else? What shall I do with all this gold and money and enjoyment? I'm tired of it. Everyone gets tired of something sometimes. So the best thing we wish is enlightenment, not enjoyment of this life. Because what we wish, we will get. Sooner or later, our mind, our subconscious, will find a way to get what we want. Like that man, perhaps he has been born in poverty for many lifetimes, and then all he has in his subconscious mind is to get rich. You know what I mean? It's just a psychological pressure of everyone. What you don't have, you want. So when he saw the Buddha, he forget everything else except to get, you know, his subconscious mind could not allow him to think of enlightenment or following the Buddha or become a monk or disciple, nothing. He only think of richness. Therefore, subsequently and subconsciously, unknowingly, he offered the 2 coins. Because then he will get the reward of richness for many lifetimes. Then he enjoyed it until he had it up to here, and then he think, oh, now I want enlightenment. I want something more than material comfort. At that time, then the Buddha had the chance to give him what he wanted. Everything we created by ourselves. Everything we receive now or later is what we want, what we created. For example, people who go to hell, you would think, who wants to go to hell? If the Master or the Buddha say, whatever you want, whatever you desire, you will get, then who would desire to go to the fire burning hell? That we say, because he desire, he'll come. He would, he has desire for it. Because of his bad action and consequence of the bad actions, he would feel very cold, very freezing at the time of death. And naturally, he would desire warm fire. At that time, he was born into fire hell. Or if a person very bad karma, the force of bad karma will push him into such a very hot condition, feeling very hot. So naturally, he would desire coolness. He would think of ice and, you know, cold places, and then he will be born into a cold hell. And that's how the law of karma works, to make people desire according to the force of their actions, the consequence of their retribution, you know what I mean? So even though you don't desire hell, but you go straight there, the force of karma make you desire similar thing, and then you fall directly to where you belong, even though you don't want it, you never think about it. That is a problem with karma. That is a problem with the action and the chain of reaction. That's why we must take care. Don't make a new karma, don't make a new reaction to pour us into suffering anymore. We must keep the precept and keep vigilance day and night with our spiritual strength. Whatever we desire at the time of death, we get. That is a problem. Not many people knows about it. That's why they don't think they would fall into hell, but they would. It's a pity, huh? But only Kuan Yin method will rescue people from this desire. Doesn't matter what force of karma. If you have Kuan Yin method, it will erase everything. It makes you deaf to every other temptation and desire. It just lifts you right up from everything. Just like a helicopter lifts a person right up from a sea of burning fire or a sea of freezing water, you know, lift it right up. And so it doesn't matter how much water, how much fire, you are unharmed. That is the Kuan Yin method. But we have to be patient and we have to accept whatever it is. When I think of how many people suffer, I cannot stop suffering myself too. Sometimes I sleep at night and I think of people with freezing cold, or people with ignorance that will suffer life after life. I just cry alone, sometimes. But sometimes I'm more enlightened and I think it's all a game. But the people who are in the game don't know it is a game. That's why they suffer. And seeing them suffer, I suffer. Not that I don't know that it is a game, but because they don't know. So that's why I try my best and you try your best. Always we try to help the people to know the way home, the way out of this suffering, mesmerizing strategy of the Maya, of the devil god. All right, I see you again later.
Appreciate your company today on Between Master and Disciples. Please join us again tomorrow for The Mystery of Cause and Effect. And now, Mighty Mimic, the black-throated laughing thrush on Animal World, our co-inhabitants, coming up next on Supreme Master Television. Have a wonderful and peaceful day. Thank you.